This is VSiN by the Books on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Top of the hour, it is VSiN by the Books. Dave Ross right here at the Mint Gaming Hall, Franklin, Kentucky. Our closer, Jensen Lewis, back home in Cleveland, Ohio. We're going to get to our best bets here in this hour. Noah Bienick is going to join us here to talk some college baseball, Jensen. I look forward to that conversation as well, as you're going to be on the move here covering some college baseball here now that we're getting set for the college baseball playoffs as well. And also, I'm going to do our Daily Diamond talking all things Major League Baseball. But we need it. We love it. Chaos in our sporting life, Jensen. It's time for this week's edition of our Chaos Candidates. All right, Jensen, arguably in the NHL, the best player in the league is probably Connor McDavid. I think we'd probably say he might be the ace of aces. You can make a debate that Nathan MacKinnon is right there. If he's one, if McDavid's one, then MacKinnon could be 1A, right? And I know it's all in the eye of the beholder what you're looking for here. Now, my first chaos candidates could be Daniel LaRusso from Karate Kid, i.e. Nathan MacKinnon. Daniel LaRusso's going to fight? Isn't this what it's all about? Miyagi-Do karate. Can you get Mr. Miyagi in there and heal that knee and heal the leg like they did for Danielson and goes out there and wins the All-Valley Karate Championship? Look, not to make light of it, it looked very serious, this Nathan MacKinnon knee injury. But you know he's a tough guy, and you know he wants to go, even though his team is down 0-3. And you know if there's a will, there's a way. Will he play tonight? We still don't know. Here's what we do know. He's now 22-1 to win the Conn Smythe. No team has ever come back from an 0-3 deficit in this position in the finals for their respective conferences in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs. If Nathan MacKinnon can somehow guts, duct tape, you name it, figure out a way to get out there on the ice, even if it's Willis Reed 1973 Knicks, more inspirational than anything else, and help the Knicks win that championship, the last one, by the way, that they've won. If Nathan MacKinnon can do a little bit of that inspiration, and then you get one tonight in Las Vegas, then you go back in a couple nights to Colorado where you'll be a home favorite again, and then you get two, and maybe the knee's feeling better, then all of a sudden you're back in Vegas, and you'll probably be a small favorite there. Jensen, you're picking up what I'm putting down. Nathan MacKinnon at 22-1. To win the Conn Smythe, all of a sudden those numbers will get shorted in the marketplace because he's rising and he's leading his team back into this Western Conference final. I don't even know if he's going to go tonight, but if he does, he shows the guts and guile that hockey players traditionally show. He could be a true agent of chaos, even on one leg. Maybe one leg for Nathan MacKinnon is better than most guys on two.
Dave, start spreading the news. The New York Knicks are back in the NBA Finals for the first time since I was a sophomore in high school. Gosh, kind of a lot's happened since the time that they have been to prominence, not a title in 99, but an opportunity now to create chaos, considering most of us thought that whoever comes out of the Western Conference would be a decided favorite. As our great friend Lee Corso says, not so fast, my friend. This version, the way the Knicks are playing, plus the rest advantage now, knowing we will have at least San Antonio and Oklahoma City playing into game six of the Western Conference Finals, they look like a juggernaut. Now, When you look at the home court advantage of the world's most famous arena at Madison Square Garden for at least games three and four, what will that series dynamic look like? I'm not sure it matters. The Knicks feel like they're on some house money, but they also feel incredibly motivated. And the way that they're dispatching of Eastern Conference opponents at this rate, we might actually have ourselves quite the NBA Finals, regardless of matchup, but it might be the Knicks that is the side that upends the apple cart. Many thought it would be either a coronation for the Thunder for back-to-back titles or the Spurs to take down the Giant. It might just be the Giant killers in the Knickerbockers that find their way to hoist the Larry O'Brien Trophy.
I've got a couple of cliches for my next chaos candidate. If not now, when? No better time than the present. Big Swede, I'm looking at you this week. We're going to break down the Charles Schwab challenge here as the days come and go. But my thing on Ludwig is you're not the favorite this week. You're an overwhelming favorite. You're in the Rory McIlroy $10 shorter than the next golfer on the board type thing. Scottie Scheffler type numbers. Now, Scottie's normally going to be about plus $354, and maybe the next guy comes at $14. Ludvig Åberg this week, to win, is 10-1. Got shorted overnight. He is $10 shorter than the next golfer, which happens to be Russell Henley. No disrespect to Russell Henley or the Robbie McIntyres out there, the Ricky Fowlers or the Justin Thomases of the world. But Ludvig, you've been so close this year to actually winning. And you go, well, what does it really matter to win the Charles Schwab? It matters a lot. Ask guys like Tommy Fleetwood. Took years to finally win on the PGA Tour. Ludvig's already won on the tour. It took years for Cam Young to break through last year and win. And now they're asking bigger questions of Tommy Fleetwood and Cameron Young because they finally get off the schneid and win on the PGA Tour. So you've already won on the tour. We're asking of you now, Ludvig, can you win with more regularity? Look, I'm cashing tickets on you, Big Swede, all the time. I'm cashing top 20s. I'm cashing top 10s and some top 5s as well. But I'm not cashing those outright tickets, and I'm not trying to get greedy. I want it for you, but you need to want it for you. It can't just come from people like me that like to bet you every week. So Ludvig Åberg, if not now, when? You're a massive favorite to win, and I can still get you a 10-1. I'm probably going to end up playing you. You're probably going to be on my card this week, and I'll have you in the placement markets as well. But go win, big fella, all right? These nice finishes are nice, but they're not who you are. You're supposed to be a generational talent. I still believe in that talent. I still believe in you. You got to want it a little bit more. Get a little bit angry if you have to out there at a bad shot. That's okay too. But I need you to not be a robot and go out there and win golf tournaments because the talent is undeniable. If not now, when?
I just had to throw this out, considering the Knicks are back in the finals for the first time since 1999. Alicia Jessup at Ruling Sports posted this. The last time the Knicks were in the NBA Finals, Dave, gas, $1.11 a gallon. A dozen eggs were 95 cents. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was under 11,000. Netflix, still a mail order business. The euro was just 5 months old, and cell phones did not have GPS. My God,
oh boy,
a lot of time has passed. Well, Dave, the time could be now for the Florida Gators. We got selection Monday out of the way yesterday, and the Gators got a top eight coveted national seed. Number eight there, meaning that their road to Omaha goes right through Gainesville. If they win the Gainesville Regional, they will host a Gainesville Super Regional. And I had helped out Aaron Moore, great contributor here for our VSiN.com staff, on his College World Series futures article. And I put Florida down and played them at 45-1 a handful of weeks ago. Dave, they have as good a 1-2 punch on the mound in Aiden King and Liam Peterson as it gets. They have a flurry of high 90s, triple digits relievers, and they also have as dynamic an offensive lineup that is really starting to swing it well. They have one of the most battle-tested coaches in Kevin O'Sullivan. Heck, he has a timeshare, basically, in Omaha because he's been there so much. But when you look at where the bracket fell for the Gators yesterday, they would host the number 9 regional winner. That would be the Hattiesburg Regional of Southern Miss. How their road shapes up, Dave, is probably one of the most advantageous considering where they are and how difficult it is to go into Gainesville and win in the postseason. Man, oh man, I could not have envisioned getting them at 45-1 and seeing the insane value that it is now. Many places have Florida sub 20-1, but they could be the one team that could take down some of the behemoths in UCLA, in Georgia Tech, Georgia. I think North Carolina, the Chapel Hill Regional is as tough as it gets for a top eight seed. But my goodness, you need great dominant starting pitching and an offense that can hit the ball out of the yard and a great coach who understands how to make the adjustments. Florida, Dave, has all the ingredients to upset some of the top seeds and root to a College World Series final. Love the Gators at 45-1 to be a potential long shot to hoist the national championship trophy.
just kind of hoping you'd say East Carolina, since I'm sitting on a nice ticket for the Pirates to be some chaos and do some damage out there to get to Omaha. Very quickly, tell the people where you are going. We're going to have Noah Bienick here join the program. We'll break down the college baseball playoffs here a little bit in more depth here, Jensen. But where are you headed off to for the people that might have missed the show earlier?
Yep, heading to Morgantown, West Virginia. That is the number 16 seed regional there, and they would be paired with the number one overall, and that's the UCLA Bruins and Los Angeles regional. So we'll dive more into it in the Daily Diamond, the breakdown of some of the best or easiest regionals, some of the toughest ones. But we are really set, Dave. I got to tell you, the college game has exploded on the Diamond in the last handful of years. There has been a real fervor, not only in SEC and ACC country, but now that the Big Ten has become a coast-to-coast conference, UCLA, yeah, wire to wire, Dave, the number one team in the nation. We obviously remember them in their Pac-12 days, but 51-6, a storybook year. Rock Chulowski is the number one prospect for the upcoming MLB draft. Looks like a generational shortstop and has played the part. I tell you, probably the Golden Spikes winner in my eyes. Daniel Jackson, who is a slugging catcher for the Georgia Bulldogs, is going to be one prominent name to watch. We are set for a explosion of theater and drama beginning Friday afternoon.
Love it. Can't wait. And love how excited you are specifically for this college baseball, the road to Omaha. It's going to be fantastic. We'll be covering it every step of the way. When we come back, though, let's do some Daily Diamond. We'll talk more about that. And also what we see here, maybe some divisional leaders versus opponents with records that are pretty good as well. That's next right here on VSiN by the Books. So you're listening to this podcast because you want an edge. But what if I told you you're only halfway there? You've got the mindset. Now it's time to get the toolkit to match it. Here's the thing. Pro bettors, they spend thousands on data and tools. But what they don't know and don't want you to know is that you can get the same edge for a fraction of the cost with VSiN Pro. With VSiN Pro, you're going to get access to expert picks, public betting data, prop projections, powerful tools, analytics, and so much more. Just tap the link in the description and see why thousands of bettors are already using VSiN Pro to cash more bets.
You're tuned in to VSiN by the Books right here on VSiN.
Circus 2026 football contests officially are open, and if you want to play but you can't be in Vegas or don't live there, well, Winner's Circle Proxy can help. After your required in-person registration, Jensen, of course, Winner's Circle Proxy is going to handle your weekly submissions so you can make your picks from anywhere in the country. Winner's Circle Proxy is VSiN's preferred proxy service. One trip to Vegas, you can play all season long from anywhere. Schedule your appointment now at winnerscircleproxy.com. I will be making the pilgrimage to Las Vegas next week, be signing us up for millions, and also I'll be signing up for Survivor as well for a second year in a row. So excited to get back to the mothership here. I'll be doing the shows out of our original studios there in Las Vegas on Thursday and Friday of next week. You're going to be on the road as well. You'll be on the road a little bit later on this week. We'll talk about that and more in today's edition of our Daily Diamond. Jensen, sometimes you look at the best of the best, if you will, in a Top Gun reference here, and you see certain divisional leaders that have not necessarily feasted off the week, but they're pretty good against some of the best out there. Who have you identified here and say, you know what, they're pretty good against some of the bigger boys here in baseball?
Yeah, it's more so a real little audit of, okay, how good are you? And again, you got to beat up on the bad teams. We all know that. That obviously helps when you're getting to playoff positioning, and the wins in April count the same they do in September. But when you get to October, we know it is the best of the best. So how do teams fare against competition with a record above 500? Well, the numbers are pretty stark here, and I just went with division leaders as we enter play today. The Rays have the best record in the American League. A couple of games above 500 against teams with records that are over that mark. Guardians an even 11-11. That's an interesting note there to factor in. Athletics have struggled against good competition, just 7-11. Now, on the flip side, the National League division leaders, really, really good. Braves 14-9, Dodgers 15-9. How about the Brewers have played 33 games already against teams with a record over 500? They're 9 games over 500 in that category. So again, just another way, Dave, to evaluate where teams are at the moment. And if you want to buy some of those future prices with them, gives you another little layer to be able to look at before you make those bets.
Well, that's why I wanted to bring it up, and I brought it up earlier in the program. I wanted to pick your brain kind of on that theme. Look, I've got tickets on the A's 4-1 to make the postseason. Feeling pretty good about the win total here as this team's been hovering around 500, which is more than enough to get those tickets home. But when I look at this division, I know we want to go Seattle first. What about Houston all of a sudden? Now, I know that there have been rumors about maybe moving some of their guys here. Do you feel like Houston's got any staying power to make a run in the AL West if it's really that down a division?
I absolutely don't. I think that they are on borrowed time. The offense is great. This pitching staff is absolutely horrific. And they have had so many injuries too, but that notwithstanding, you are going to see some people probably calling about not only Christian Walker, but Yordan Alvarez. And again, this could be quite the haul. Not that Houston wants to do it. Dana Brown, defiant the last couple of years that they are in it. And Dave, the standings would justify, you know, where Dana Brown's psyche could be. Still way too early. But front office members do start having these conversations about what's kind of the market. What would be the acquisition cost for these certain big stars? A reminder, the Astros begin play today 7 games under 500, but only 2.5 out of a playoff spot because the American League has been so down outside of the Rays, the Yankees, and the Guardians. Those are the only teams, Dave, 3 of the 15 that are above 500. If you want to throw the Athletics in there, or excuse me, I take that back. There are 4 teams over 500, Rays, Yankees, Guardians, and White Sox, just like we all thought. And then the Athletics are a perfect 27 and 27, even at that mark. So it's hard for American League teams to sit there and say, okay, well, we haven't played our best baseball, but we're like a series sweep or two from being in a postseason spot. So I think that would be something to factor in if you're looking at the futures market.
So again, they are 7 games under 500. They've won 4 in a row. So they were 11 games under 500 all of a sudden. And the Astros only 3.5 out of the division lead, if you can believe this, 7 games under. So this was a team last year that I hopped in on around this time, got them at plus 550 to win the division. That was very fruitful. But again, this is not last year's team. So we'll find out, 2 years ago with the Astros. So we'll find out with Seattle running them down a year ago. So we'll see if the Astros can get back in. But if they trade away those pieces, as you mentioned, Jensen, that would not be a team you want to get invested in if they're going to deal before the deadline. You've seen some of these matchups here so far. We saw like the Mariners are pounding the A's last night. Do you see some maybe lopsided results coming in these series?
I think we could attack a couple of these games. So the headline is one-sided affair with a question mark. Like on paper, is it really one-sided? Let me start with the Braves and the Red Sox. Spencer Strider, Ranger Suarez. Now this is priced evenly. It's $1.10 each side. But I'm going to tell you right now that Ranger Suarez has been much better than what meets the eye. And if I'm looking to kind of handicap this specific head-to-head, I would tell you that I could honestly still look at Atlanta and maybe even playing the run line at plus money. They're laying a run and a half plus $1.48. I think that you take advantage, the Braves will, of Ranger Suarez. And again, seen him plenty when he was with the Phillies. That's an interesting matchup. Definitely one-sided tonight at Kauffman Stadium. Cam Schlittler going for the New York Yankees against Bailey Falter. Dave, I played not only the under 9, I also played the Yankees in the alternate run line minus 1 at $1.58. On the under here, the Yankees are 18-8-2 to the under as a road favorite, which they are decidedly so tonight. Kansas City also against non-divisional opponents, 18-13 to the under, and the Royals have been way under, at least 5 games under 500, covering the run line against just American League opponents overall. So Yankees Royals under 9 tonight, and then the Yankees minus 1 on the alternate run line at minus $1.58.
Yeah, I'd love to push back with those Royals, but after losing the way they did yesterday, too, you kind of feel like their heart got ripped out a little bit after that the go-ahead home run by Bobby Witt, and you give up two in the ninth, and now you have Cam Schlittler. That does not bode well here for Kansas City later on today. John Denver, Take Me Home, Country Roads. We used to sing it in the song in the car every time we crossed over from Virginia to West Virginia as kids. Mom's going to be excited for you to get to Morgantown. I know you're fired up for that as well, Jensen.
Going to be great. And again, Selection Monday for the men's college baseball, A Road to Omaha, revealed yesterday. Dave, at least at first glance, there were three regionals that really jumped out. Speaking of Morgantown, which I'll be covering beginning on Friday afternoon, that really looked like a tough row to hoe. Let's start there. The number 16 seed, national seed, West Virginia. They have Wake Forest as a two, a powerhouse out of the ACC in years past. They've got a great stable of power arms. Kentucky in the battle-tested SEC. They were one of the bubble teams that got in. And then shout out Danny Higgins' cousin, who is part of the Binghamton boys that I got to cover in Athens last year. They are the four seed there in Morgantown. Lincoln, Nebraska, the number 13 national seed, Nebraska Cornhuskers. Holy hell, Dave. Ole Miss, who was right there for an opportunity maybe to host. Arizona State out of the Big 12, which really came on at the end of the year. And then South Dakota State, don't sleep on the Jackrabbits there. An interesting four seed that could provide some resistance. And then no favors done to the North Carolina Tar Heels. This Chapel Hill Regional, the number 5 national seed, North Carolina's got their work cut out for them. The Vols of Tennessee will be the 2 seed out of the SEC. They have played much better down the stretch. East Carolina, who I know you have a ticket on, Cliff Godwin's crew, they find their way in. They create all kinds of chaos, Dave. That is a battle-tested program. And then your old alma mater, the VCU Rams, finding their way in. Not the best team, but still, they're going to probably give North Carolina a little more trouble than maybe anticipated. Three regionals that I think are pretty easy. Atlanta, the number 2 overall seed, Georgia Tech. I think they run roughshod over Oklahoma. The Citadel, where I just covered the SoCon conference tournament, they were the conference champions over the weekend. And then UIC rounds out that regional. Texas, the number 6 seed in Austin. They got a great, great draw, but they're going to have to hopefully think that UC Santa Barbara does not have their ace able to go in game 2. Tarleton State, Holy Cross finished that one out. And as I told you, my chaos candidates, the Gainesville Regional, the Florida Gators, number 8 seed, they will get their crosstown rival in the Miami Hurricanes there, but Troy and Ryder fill out that regional. I think they are very much in the driver's seat to have a clear path to the Super Regional round.
Yeah, my boys, they were texting in our old Virginia Beach 757 group text and saying there's a buzz in Richmond about my Rams this year. So I said, okay, I'll obviously love to see that ECU ticket make some noise here, but if it can't be ECU, I'd love to see VCU do something out of that side of the bracket here. So I'll be a watchful eye on East Carolina and my alma mater if they can make a buzz out of Richmond this year. We're going to talk more about that with Noah Bienick here. He's going to join the program next and get his overall thoughts here as we get ready for the road to Omaha in earnest. That's next right here on Visa by the Books.
You're tuned in to Visa by the Books right here on Visa.
We are back, VSiN, by the books, Dave Ross, Jensen Lewis, talking a lot of college baseball today as the field has been set. Noah Bienick, kind enough to join us once again here on the program, co-creator of the Diamond Report, contributor for 11.7, and the Sports Gambling Podcast Network, our buddies over there. Give him a follow on X at NoahB77_. Noah, great to have you back here in the Progressive Guest Line today. Before we get into specifics of the regions and what you're looking at, you know, we do this in March Madness a lot in basketball. Were there any omissions that you saw that you thought maybe a team had a strong case to get in but didn't make the cut?
Yeah, the one that jumps out is Mercer. First team ever in NCAA baseball history where they had a top 30 RPI and a winning record. We've seen, you know, SEC teams have a losing records and a top 30 RPI that kind of skew that data, but for a mid-major, it really feels like a little bit of a rug pull when the NCAA year after year tells, you know, teams RPI is kind of the metric that you're working towards, and you have to schedule your entire you know, list of games 2 years in advance, and then they add a couple more metrics this year. And you know, that's just a really, really tough deal for a team that won 45 plus games and won a regular season in one of the top six or seven leagues in the country this year. So Mercer is definitely the one that came up on the short end of the stick there.
Totally agree. I had the SoCon Conference Tournament title game this past weekend, saw them in person, and you're talking about a SoCon conference that had the highest what RPI and DSR outside of the Power Four. So totally thought it would be a two-bid league. So I completely agree. Mercer got robbed. On Selection Monday, easiest regional when it was all said and done, and maybe the toughest regional in your eyes, Noah, to advance to the Supers.
Yeah, I always like these types of conversations. And like I said, there were some new things with the NCAA baseball tournament and the way the selection process went this year. They seeded 1 through 16 and then 17-32. That was the first time they've seeded 17 through 32 in the NCAA baseball tournament. I do think you're going to see those number one overall seeds, number two overall seeds, the number three overall seeds, the number four overall seed regionals be the weakest. I think those two seeds, honestly, were quite weak. I could have seen any of those four, two seeds be actual three seeds in regionals. So I do think your top four overall seeds did get rewarded with relatively weak regionals. So if you're looking for like which one seeds are going to advance relatively easily, I do think you're looking at the LA regional, your Athens regional, your Atlanta regional, and your Auburn regional. If you're looking for a regional that, man, it's really tough to pick because it's kind of just murky. I don't like any of these teams, and I feel like any of them that come out of this regional, I don't know if they're winning the super regional. It's the Tallahassee regional. Florida State, Coastal Carolina, Northern Illinois, St. John's. That one's a really tough one to pick. And then the one they're actually matched up with is the Tuscaloosa regional. I just feel like that quadrant, those two quadrants, is a really tough and weak part of the bracket where somebody's going to get to Omaha, and I don't necessarily think it's going to be as strong. And every year we kind of see one team kind of dodge an SEC opponent. And I hate saying that type of stuff because the SEC, the sport does revolve around the SEC. You look at it last year, UCLA did not play a SEC opponent to get to Omaha. 2024, Oral Roberts did not play an SEC opponent to get to Omaha. There's a handful of teams you can point to, and I think that quadrant, you know, the one bracket doesn't have an SEC team, and then Alabama I do think is a vulnerable one seed. Strongest regional, I think you have to look towards Lincoln. Nebraska is the one seed. I think they have a relative balance of both pitching and offense. Ole Miss, really good pitching in the regional. Arizona State, best offense in the regional, and then the four seed South Dakota State. We've seen the Summit League jump up and bite with Oral Roberts in the past. So Lincoln Regional is probably the strongest, in my opinion.
No, you know, people that are going to look at this now and see, you know, they don't want to bet the chalky number one seeds out there. They're going to look for a longer shot. Can you give some value that you might see for a non-number one seed that might be able to make it to the Super Regionals?
Yeah, one of my favorite teams, they were going to be one of my teams that I was looking at if they were going to be a two seed. It actually came out, they're a three seed. It's Jacksonville State. I do think this is a relatively strong three seed that could have been a two. Their athletic director was on the selection committee. I wouldn't have been surprised if that was a bit of a conversation of let's slide them off the two line. That way they're not headed to LA to play UCLA or anything like that. Jacksonville State ends up in the Hattiesburg Regional. And this is a team with a weekend rotation, all three arms, sub 410 ERA, very, very solid with Eli Pillsbury, Bo Bryans, and Stephen Cash. But it's also an offense that can really swing it top to bottom in that lineup. And they've got multiple wins against SEC opponents, whether it be Auburn or Alabama in-state there. In-state against some big brother teams. And you don't necessarily have that type of team in that Hattiesburg regional. I think Virginia is a relatively weak two seed. Little Rock is the four, and then Southern Miss is the one being their host. We've seen time and time again how much I want to believe in Southern Miss, but every single year they seem to find their way into the loser's bracket of their own home regional. And I like playing a little bit deeper down the board in that Hattiesburg regional for whatever reason. Southern Miss's offense this year, not quite as strong as it's been in years past, but the pitching staff is definitely daunting. But I think I like Jacksonville State. Steve Beezer's done an incredible coaching job this year with those Gamecocks.
I would love nothing more than anyone but Southern Miss to play Florida in a super regional in Gainesville. And obviously, I think Florida with the arms and the offense right now to take care of business in that one. When the bracket was finalized, without having anything in pocket, if someone wanted to jump in right now, your top recommendations in two markets to make the College World Series, which I think we can find on DraftKings right now, and then also maybe a couple of CWS futures to win the national championship. What popped to you?
Yeah, immediately what popped to me is the same team that I jumped down here and talked to you guys about 2 weeks ago, Oklahoma State. They're plus 850 prior to conference tournaments. They're plus 500 right now. I do think that Tuscaloosa Regional is up for grabs, and then the pairing of the Super Regional with them is a relatively weaker one with, the Tallahassee Regional. So let's talk about that a little bit. Alabama, the talent is there in the offensive lineup. Don't get me wrong. And Justin LeBron, probably going to be a day one pick in the MLB draft. It's just not been the type of year that you would have liked to have seen from him. They don't really have, a go-to dangerous bat in that lineup that you have to avoid. The pitching staff's been really sturdy, top 20 ERA in the country, and they've played 30 games against SEC competition. It's very valid, but I'm gonna take you to Oklahoma State, one, because I think it's one of the best offenses in the country, and they've seen this type of pitching before. Alabama is not a staff that's necessarily going to blow you away with high heat. And then also with Oklahoma State, their pitching staff has really good stuff. Now, I know the bullpen can get thin at times. That's the number one worry with these pokes. But the Cowboys, their starting rotation has been excellent, especially with being able to rack up some strikeouts. And Alabama is one of the worst swing and miss teams in the country. The K rate's in the 30%. So, I like Oklahoma State as a 2-seed to get out of that Tuscaloosa regional. And then I don't view Florida State as some daunting one seed. They're 0-8 against other one seeds in the NCAA baseball tournament. That's your kind of elite competition. And then I believe they're 4-12 or something like that against quad one, which is not a good record against your typical NCAA tournament team. So yeah, I like Oklahoma State at plus 500 right now to get to Omaha, to win the College World Series. I think I'd point everybody towards a team like North Carolina, who I think on paper received a relatively tough draw. Jensen, we were talking about this team, I think, a couple weeks ago, too. But yeah, they're 14-1 to win the College World Series right now. And East Carolina, Tennessee, VCU on paper, tough draw. However, I do think that once you get outside of Tennessee's starting rotation, that pitching staff is a little bit thin. Same with East Carolina after their number one with Ethan Norby. Those teams, East Carolina could be scrappy, and Tennessee's got some talent in the lineup, but it's not necessarily as good as we've seen those Tony Vitello teams be. North Carolina is older, experienced in the offensive lineup, and this year, again, just like in years past, it's one of the best pitching staffs in the country. 1-2-3 in the weekend rotation, all sub 4 year array. They've got a Caden Glauber out of the bullpen, and Walker McDuffie, who's been electric the last 2 years. So I like those Tar Heels at 14-1.
No, great stuff. Again, everybody check him out. Diamond Report, contributor of 11.7. And again, NoahB77 _ on X. You stayed up till 2:30 breaking down these brackets once they came out?
Yes, sir.
That's what you do, Noah. We love it. That's the best time of the year. Appreciate your insight as always, my friend. When we come back, we're going to get to our best bets and a very interesting comment from the Cavaliers owner, Dan Gilbert. That's next right here. VSiN by the Books.
By the Books, right here on VSiN.
got one of the best VSiN Pro offers of the entire year currently at your disposal. And this is the final week of it, though. So to get a full year of VSiN Pro, which is normally $240, you can get it now for just $199. So when you sign up, we're going to give you 2 extra months for free. That's 14 months of VSiN Pro access, less than 50 cents a day, people. Use that promo code PRO, P-R-O. When you do, you're going to get our daily best bets from all of our hosts and guests, real-time betting splits from DraftKings Circa, AI-powered prop tools and matchup analysis, 24/7 live video, plus full show replays on your time on the VSiN Watch app, plus all of our special edition betting guides for every major sport throughout the next 14 months, college football, NFL, into baseball season of next year as well. This offer will expire May 31st. Do not wait. Head over to VSiN.com/subscribe. Use that promo code PRO at VSIN.com/subscribe. Speaking of, again, when you like, subscribe to the VSiN by the Books podcast, you can listen to the conversations like we just had with Noah Bienick talking all things college baseball, Jensen. So we're fired up for that. So again, you can have those at the ready at your disposal. We've had an interesting theme of the show today. Congratulations to the Knicks. They move on now to the NBA Finals, waiting. We'll talk about Game 5 here in a second between OKC and San Antonio. But we've seen this kind of disconnect as we've been playing throughout the show today with Kenny Atkinson and James Harden about maybe the effort and this team and where they really are. Well, let's hear from the man at the top, Dan Gilbert, who took to social media to put out this statement. He says, and I quote, "We took a step ahead this spring, but we are nowhere near where we need to be. I can't thank the fans enough for the support this year. We're going to dig in all summer and do everything we possibly can to take the next step. We will grind until we get there. Congrats at New York Knicks and best of luck in the finals." Jensen, I don't know that he liked the Kenny Atkinson we were winning analytically. I don't know that he liked what he heard from James Harden. You know, we're actually better than they are. His quote, "We're nowhere near where we need to be." You know, you need to have ownership like that sometimes. Say what you want about Dan Gilbert, but I do think he's going to make changes here after what we just saw in this sweep against the Knicks.
Oh, he has to. I mean, the public outcry would be ridiculous if he didn't. And again, as I told you, I've lived here long enough. His patience, is about as thin as it gets. And he does not mess around. When he wants things done, they're done yesterday. So, as I said, it was a masterclass in what not to do between James Harden and Kenny Atkinson in the public post-game press conferences. I would expect that there is more fuel to the fire about the Cavaliers being in the Giannis Antetokounmpo market. That will be fascinating to watch on the trade end of things. You know, will we have James Harden back in the fold? Will Donovan Mitchell be here? I know he wants to sign the extension and be that guy moving forward. Well, they got problems, man. And this is back-to-back years. Dave, remember, we talked this time last year. They got physically mauled by the Indiana Pacers. Yep. And, you know, it was Donovan Mitchell who, you know, basically like stayed in his uniform and rewatched the tape. And, you know, it was like, things are going to change. It really changed, man. You got manhandled again. And so now I think it becomes a question of not only toughness and confidence, but competency, Dave. Are they competent enough to win? I don't think they are. And I think you hear the owner really reflecting that in that social media post.
I mean, I'm sorry, Kenny Atkinson, but take a note from your owner here. This is the right type of statement. It wasn't good enough. Forget about the analytics. Forget about all the other things. And you just say, you know what? It's my job as a head coach to be better. And we were not better. So this is not acceptable. It would have been as easy to do that. I think Dan Gilbert gave the refrain. I think the fans certainly wanted to hear this morning. I wonder what the fans of OKC are going to be saying after tonight. This is a pivotal game 5 tonight here, Jensen. They're 5.5-point favorites. We'll have to see about the injury reports here. Stay tuned to VSiN throughout the day. We'll find out about guys like Mitchell and Williams and whether or not they're going to be able to go. And, you know, really, what do you expect even if those guys can play? But, Jensen, it really, the depth started to erode in game 4. You saw that in San Antonio, especially defensively. But you think maybe we do get more offense after a really suppressed score in game 4?
I do. And again, I like the over 215.5. Lock that in at -$1.20 over on Hard Rock. And also took yesterday the Spurs at plus $1.65 on the money line. Make no mistake about it. Defense ruled that game for performance. I think that will travel. I think the Spurs did figure a couple of things out. And will you have enough depth for the Thunder off the bench? Even if Jalen Williams comes back and starts, what will his capacity be? And if I am Mitch Johnson, I am running right at him to see physically what he's capable of doing. What will SGA look like early too, Dave? Will it be facilitating? Will it be, hey, I got to go start scoring early and often because we do not want San Antonio to get out in force. They've been a great first quarter team all year, San Antonio has. Will they also continue that concerted effort to try and keep Wemby out of the paint much more than what he was early in this series? A lot of storylines here, but I think this is a Spurs winning outright. May get to the window on a spread here too, just to cover that money line. But I think they have the momentum. I think they're the better team and the healthier team right now. If they get contributions the way they did in game four behind Wemby from the supporting cast, Dave, this is the Spurs headed back to San Antonio, I think, with a chance to close it out.
And what's interesting is before game four, after San Antonio lost game three at home, in the futures market here to win that series, OKC at that point was over a $4 betting favorite, up 2-1. So how it has changed now, OKC is still over a $2 betting favorite, minus 220 to win this series. San Antonio is plus $1.80. If you like the Spurs tonight, again, plus $1.60 in the money line right now, might not be a bad way to go is to play that money line play tonight, because you would think in order to win the series, you have to get this one. Yeah, sure, you could lose this, still home, win game six back at home and then somehow win game seven. But it does feel like, I'm picking up what you're putting down, that tonight's game is the one that feels winnable for San Antonio if they're going to take a stranglehold on this series. It would come tonight in Oklahoma City. Very quickly, VGK can eliminate Colorado tonight. We don't know about the status yet of Nathan MacKinnon. Speaking of injuries here, this is still, it's interesting to me that Colorado is still slightly favored in this one, but you might be looking to the over in this game as well.
I think so. And I did just a couple of pizza money bets on some exact scores tonight. I do think that VGK does close this thing out, and it's just a matter of what will that final margin be. So I played two exact scores just for $50 a pop here. I went at 20-1, VGK wins exactly 4-2. And then I took a shot at 30-1 on VGK winning exactly 5-3. So we could have a little party in the yard tonight before I take off for the mountains of West Virginia if that gets home. But this is more, having been in these elimination scenarios myself, Dave, it's about psyche. It's about health, which now all of a sudden has challenged the Avalanche with their best player in Nathan MacKinnon. Yes, you did get Cale Makar back, I should say. But man, it's a totally different VGK vibe now with them getting Mark Stone back in the fold too. So yeah. I think the momentum and mostly the motivation. Vegas does not want to pack it back up and have to go close this out in five. I think they take care of business. They move on to the Stanley Cup Finals tonight.
My heart's still with the Avs here with some big tickets out there, but I did play VGK tonight. So again, we're trying to be smart here, people, monetize tickets. And that's what I'm doing tonight. So again, if I'll be rooting against the ticket, but if VGK wins, then we certainly make up a little bit, kind of like what we did with that Knicks ticket last night against the Cavaliers. Okay, some baseball plays out there, the Rays and the Orioles. If you had the under yesterday, I mean, that is getting home until it doesn't with an explosion in extra innings, Jensen. That's a tough way to go here, people. But you think maybe you got to buck up and go right back to the under today?
I think so. I think we'll get a little tired arms and legs here. It is Griffin Jacks against Shane Boz. So again, you could have a little more advantage for Tampa with Jacks pitching as well as he has converting from a reliever to a starter. The Yankees Royals game I'm targeting in earnest a couple of ways. Let's play the under 9. And again, backing that up, the Yankees 18-8-2 to the under as a road favorite. The Royals also 18-13 to the under when they face non-divisional opponents. And then we ride Cam Schlittler and the Yankees alternate run line minus one at minus $1.58. Kansas City's had a lot of trouble covering the run line against American League opponents. They're underwater at 20-25. And again, the way that the Yankees have been taking care of business on the road, Last 15 times they've played Kansas City, they're 13-2 straight up. Don't want to lay the big money line price, but certainly like the alternate run line at -1.
All right. And again, I don't know how with Metropolitans yesterday were big favorites over the Reds. That was a stay away from me. Nick Lodolo gets home here with that team right now in the lack of hitting. Man, if you get overs, it's coming from the other team. It might come from Cincinnati and not from the Metropolitan side because they just can't score runs at this juncture. Great stuff as always, Jensen. Again, if you want more VSiN people, you've been watching on FanDuel Sports Network, all you have to do is go to the VSiN Watch app, VSiN.com, a numbers game. Gil Alexander, Kelly Bidlin, they are up next.